Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As our custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. John chapter 15, verse 14 to 16. John chapter 15, verse 14 to 16. Yeah, my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I called you, friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He may not give it to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Second reading, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Do you have the NIV version? If you don't, let's maintain the King James. May be able to comprehend, that's Ephesians chapter 3, sorry, 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Elder, will find the NIV for me. In the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Our last reading, John 14, 13, 14. John 14, verse 13 to 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, all of us, let's read together. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will. I can't hear you, church. Let's take it again. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Today we are taking the next sub-series. This is our third sub-series under the subject matter we are dealing with. If it should be a book that we were studying, we will call this chapter 3. Alright? And under chapter 3, the first topic we want to take, or the first concept we want to look at, is what we call all kinds of prayer. Hallelujah. So today we will be looking at all kinds of prayer. Father, thank you. As your word come with power and might, we pray that your word will settle and give us what we need for our tomorrow and our future. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Teach us to pray is truth, a word of truth and a word of grace that we are beginning to be able to strengthen our understanding on the concept of prayer. And as a whole topic, to be able to comprehend it, we need to take it on precept upon precept. So from the beginning, we started with what it takes to pray, what Jesus said men ought to pray. That was our sub-series. And under what, why men ought to pray, we looked at what we call the big deal about prayer. We also study on the concept of connecting to source, remaining in what, relationship and effective in purpose. Then we also find out about the life of what priesthood, and that we are God, and that it is of God that we ought prophesy. Are we there? That all the people were what? Prophets. All his people were prophets. Then from there, we move to the next phase, understanding the practice of prayer. We found out that number one, in the whole practice of prayer, we can practice prayer as an individual or as a what? As a corporate body, as a church. So we look at the sub-series called When I Pray or The Church Prays. And then we find out about protocols of what? Corporate prayer, protocols of personal prayer life, and then what corporate prayer is about. Are we there? Now, we want to tackle the real thing called prayer now. Then, after we have tackled the real thing called prayer, we will look at other concepts and precepts that connects to prayer. So, what we have gotten to right now is very critical. Follow me very well. Where we have entered now is very critical. If you don't follow me well, and you don't get it here, then I don't know. And please, I want to encourage you that go back and listen to all the 11 messages that have been preached so far. It's 11. On the concept of prayer, if you have not done them. Else, you may not catch the fire or may not catch where we are getting to. Are we there? So, can we move on now? Now, one of the sensitive concepts in the church that we all know has become a topic of discussion and you have a lot of perspective and division about is prayer. And one of the major issues with that aspect of prayer is what we call the classification of prayer. Are you with me? The majority of Christians believe that there are various forms of prayers. We believe that there are various forms of prayers. But the problem we have is that we do not know the basis upon which those forms of prayers were derived, the basis upon which those classifications were made, and the extent to which those classifications or forms of prayers can affect our efficiency in prayer. So believers, many of the believers believe in divis that there are various forms of prayers that we pray, true or false. Are we there? But the question is, do we even know what led to those, brought about those forms, those classifications? We don't know. And how does it even affect the efficiency and the effectiveness of the prayer in our life? Most of us don't know. So we treat it lightly. And this various division and perspective about prayer has brought about some school of thought and some way of ideology or concept that we see prayer about. There are only two I want to just raise because it's not part of the whole discussion or whatever I want us to look at today. Number one, because we don't really understand how these forms of prayer affect our prayer life, there are certain Christians, or to some Christians, there is nothing like praying against the devil, binding and losing, etc. Because we believe that Jesus has dealt with everything, Jesus is in charge. And you find out that this group of believers do pray a little or do not even practice a prayer life. Because we don't believe in this so-called bind, lose, touch, break, and all this stuff. Are you with me? So, and they have issues. Why do you go to church every time? And the fact, the issue is that those who even believe in the bind and lose, they don't even know how it should be done. Hello? Are we there? So there's this approach to the divisions of forms of prayer, the way people don't believe in certain aspects. And one of the things they don't believe in this whole aspect of prayer. Are you with me? There are another group of Christians who also are raised to know that all about prayer, okay? So this group of people, all about prayer to them is to confession, recitation. Are you there? Sit quietly, recite a prayer, make some confessions. Are you there? Have you been there before? You be in that church, and I tell you, for your days of your life on this earth, you will never hear anything about dealing with certain things of your life, because that place, it is. As you get, you see what you understand what I'm doing. Yes, silently sit. You give you communion, make some confessions, confess your sins, move on. The rest, Jesus has what, taking care of it. There's another group of people too that all they were taught about prayer is that it is not flesh and blood we contend with. The orientation they have is that as long as you become born again, it is not flesh and blood that you are contending with. So they are militant, always at war with the devil, fighting the devil. And I don't know who called that fight for them. Why? Though we know that, you see, the thing is, we know that there are forms of prayer, but because we don't know how these forms of prayer were propounded, what led to them, we don't even know how to be very effective and efficient in it. So you see somebody doing this thing and it seems it relates to your situation or your problem, then you decide to what, sign up to it. So there are those kind of believers, all that they know about prayer is that form of prayer. So if you talk about any other thing concerning prayer, they can't relate with it. The reason why they can't relate with it is because they don't even know what led to what kind of prayer they are practicing. Hallelujah. There are some also who don't even believe that there are divisions about prayer. All they think about is that prayer is about just talking to God. Just go and talk to God. Are we there? Are we there? Yes, all these things are very, very dangerous and unhealthy to the life of the believer. They are very unhealthy to the life of the believer. And this is the challenge we are looking at in this sub-series. That from this sub-series, which I have titled it as what? The Rules of Engagement. This is the sub-series we are dealing with. I didn't mention the sub-series to you. The Rules of Engagement is a sub-series. And the first thing we are dealing under the Rules of Engagement is all kinds of prayers. So under these Rules of Engagement, we want to find out what led to the forms of prayer from scripture point of view. How can we be efficient and effective in the various forms of prayer? Are you with me? Are you with me? Yes, that is all. This is what we are going to focus on. Okay, so we are going to look at the basis upon which prayer is classified, that is the kinds of prayers, the type of prayers, and the mode of classifications, rules of engagement with respect to various forms of prayer. That is going to be our focus in this series, and I hope you'll be so blessed, and I hope you're looking forward to what God is going to do in our life through this series. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So having given you an opening speech about our sub-series, let's go into our message for today. Hallelujah. Kinds of prayer. Give me the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. And if I can get that prince microphone to read in the NIV for me, I'll be happy. In the writings of Apostle Paul to the church of Ephesus, Apostle Paul was very blatant about a statement he made. In the finality of his teachings in the book of Ephesians, now follow me, he was talking to a matured believer in the aspect of taking their stand, in the aspect of exercising dominion. He started by telling that, having done all to not stand. So in that process of standing, he was teaching them what the believer have to do to stand. And he started talking about the armory of the believer. And in that place, he talked about the defensive armory and not the offensive one. The offensive one said, praying without the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, when he finished with that place, then he continued to say that praying, read the NIV from what the NIV say?
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 from the NIV.
Yeah.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers
with
and requests.
All kinds of what? Prayers. Now, the word kind that came into, that was inserted in that word, if you find the King James said all prayers. King James said all. So it means that not just, he said all prayers. If you find the translation of that word all, it also means of various forms or diversities of various kinds. This very adjective that was inserted in that very verse brings into mind something, which is called classification. In the theory of classification, we use words like types, kind, and all these things for classification. Now, I know you know what classification is because everybody here has gone through at least elementary knowledge in science. And in an elementary knowledge in science, you will find out that one of the things you are going to learn as a concept in biology is classification. Kingdom, animalia, kingdom what? So, the moment you see kinds, we are talking about what? Classification. So, it is at this very chapter you find out that there are kinds of prayers. The moment kinds, the word kind comes in, let's look at the definition of the word kind by English. So, the word kinds generally refers to the broader categories or classifications that encompasses various variations of subcategories. So, there are variations in things. That is why classifications are out done. Means that prayer, there are variables in prayers. Prayer varies. Means that there are unique identities, unique changes when it comes to prayer. So you cannot put all of them together and expect it to work for you. Are you there? So the Apostle Paul was telling them that although I'm asking you to pray, pray all kinds of prayers. A typical way to explain this concept to you is to use the word sport. You know sport, right? Sport is a general word, but when you enter into sport, you find out there are kinds of what? Sport. And there are types of what? Sports. One of the kind of sport is athletics. And one of the type of athletics is what? High jump. It's a type. There's another. In that jumping, we have high jump, we have long or triple jump, we have all kinds of what? Jump. In that athletics, we have what we call the races, right? We have the 100 heat, the heat race. We have the marathon. These are types. So these are variations. So the moment we introduce the word kind, we are talking about categories. Means that although they are in one place, they're under one umbrella, they have unique variations, and they must be treated as such and respect the protocols by which they are varied. Hallelujah. Therefore, the prayer thing that we are doing, there are kinds of it. There are variations in it. And this is what brought about the forms of prayer. Are we there? Now, when I look at the word, so it means that prayer is being categorized. So you can't just get up and say, I'm praying. Which category of prayer are you engaging? You cannot just call people and say, let's go and pray. Which category of prayer are you examining at that point of time? Are we there? Because Paul said all kinds. The moment the word all kinds come into the situation, it means that they are what? Variations. And fact that they are what? Classifications. Now, one thing I found about the word classification in terms of its importance, one thing that stands out for me in the concept of classification is that it makes provision for structure and clarity that helps in determining the pattern to maximize the best out of what you are dealing with. So classifications are done to help us to see the patterns, the structures, and clarity on how to maximize an item that we are dealing with. Therefore, if we classify things over here, are you following me? What happens is that when I take one unit from the classification, because they have been grouped, they have been classified, I will be able to see the patterns in it. I will be able to see the structures involved. Then I will be able to get clarity in maximizing that very thing I want to relate with. Are you on the same page? Can I set an example? Bring the water. Is anybody having a drink here? A drink. I saw you with a bottle. Drink. Anything. Any other form of liquid. Please, can you put it here? I want you to set an example. Although your pastor is not a science student, I do more of scientific examples at church. Any other liquid? Okay, you have it or any other liquid you can. But if you check in your bags, I'm likely to find a drink. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So, now, according to science, these things, by classification of matter, can be called what? Water. Can be called liquid. Is that not it? Classification. All right. Now, when you take this thing, by that classification that has been done, it gives you an idea and structure of how to handle it. Number one, for example, if you want to know the shape of a liquid, it takes the shape of what? So you can't tempt the shape of a water until you put it in what? A container. So if I want to relate with water, do you get it? I need a what? I need a structure, and that structure is what? Container. And if I want to maximize the use of water right now, that container will help me to be able to what? Maximize it at the best. Because I cannot relate with water without having it what? Contained in something that can make use of it. So in as much as I have need of water, because of classification by science, I know that it is a liquid, and for liquids to be able to have them, you should be able to get something that cannot contain them. That is why we always have what? Containers for what? Liquid substances. Do I need a container to hold this thing? Because it's solid. So most solid objects, you don't need what? So I cannot treat the way I treat this one the same way I treat this. Now, when you come under this classification of liquid, you find that this is called water, this is called oil, this is called wine. because of the classification that they have been classified, further breakdown, I know what I can do to maximize this and what I can do to maximize due to classification. Hello. But if all I knew is that they are all liquid, do you know that when I'm tested, I want to drink this? Would this quench my thirst? Can this cook food? Can you cook food with this? You can cook food with this. Communion. I'll give it to you to prepare rice right now. Are you with me? Now, this is the problem. When you see this, let's see this as prayer liquid. If you don't know the kinds of prayer, you will see this all as liquid and think that they can all do the same thing. So when you are thirsty, instead of you taking this, you will go for what? This. And you find out that because you didn't have the understanding of their classification, you cannot maximize the use of this thing, so you can mishandle them, misuse them, and it will be at your disadvantage. At the end of the day, you will say that this thing does not work. It is not you, because you didn't understand . So Paul was very blunt that there are kinds of what? Prayers. So the believer must be taken through the understanding of what? The kinds of what? Prayers. As a rule of what? Classification. And the sole reason is that it will give you the structure and give you clarity and show you the pattern as to how to maximize each of the items that is found under the classification of what? A group. Hallelujah. I pray that by the time we are through with this very aspect of prayer, when you get up to pray, you can maximize any concept of prayer you are working on. Whether it be whatever form of prayer you are exposing yourself to, because you have the understanding of it, you will maximize it to your best in the name of Jesus. People can fast 21 days and pray, and it seems as if they didn't pray. It seems as if a prayer is a worthless thing. People are discouraged in prayer because of this basic understanding. The Bible said, "My people perish for lack of what? Knowledge." So let nobody tell you that prayer is just, no, prayer, there are kinds of prayers. And Paul says you should pray all, not some. So the first understanding you have to understand, all kinds of prayers is a requirement for you to pray. You have to be effective, you have to pray all kinds of what. But when you are praying them, because you understand the classifications, you know the rules to observe in not engaging each of them. So now the next thing we have to, so this is what the rules of engagement come. So the rules of engagement is to help us to what? To determine how these classifications are going to work. Or how they what? Work. Rules of what? Engaging. That's the word. The rules of engagement is the rules of what? Engaging. The kind of observation you have to make when you're engaging what? Liquids. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love science. I should have studied science. Hallelujah. Now, now that I've explained the concept of kinds and show you in scriptures that there are kinds of prayers. Now, let's find out the origin of what the kinds of prayers. Are we there? How did the kinds of prayers came about? Can I shock you that the kinds of prayers was propounded by Jesus Christ himself? Yeah. The altar and the one who set in the kinds of prayers is Jesus himself. And in the concept of prayer, we have two kinds of prayers. Not types. I'm talking of kinds. Kinds means the broader, the big umbrella we are looking at. So if you take matter, we have three big umbrella of matter, right? We have solid, liquid, and what? Gas. But that is not all. There are a lot of things in the liquid. You see, I'm giving an example of liquid here. So there are types of liquid is what I'm showing over here. So kind and types, they are not the same. Types talk about close related what items. Kind talks about a bigger what, picture, although they are all captured under one thing. Hello. So I talk about kingdom animalia, not part of kingdom animalia. But another kingdom, we have what? Mammals, we have reptiles, we have all kinds of what. You're in the spirit. Hallelujah. So the kind of prayers, or when it comes to prayers And what Jesus wants us to do in terms of prayer, Jesus propounded two kinds of prayers for us. So that first kind of prayer is in the book of John chapter 15 verse 16 to 17. So today we'll be looking at them. Now, the reason for the kinds of prayers is based on the usage of the name of Jesus. The reason why we have kinds of prayers is because of, number one, the usage of the name of Jesus and the direction to which that prayer is to go to. Now, the first kind of prayer that our Lord Jesus propounded is in the book of John chapter 15, verse 16 to 17. After that, you can go to John chapter 16, verse 23. It explained that very, very prayer very well. I'll come there. But let's read. He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now whatsoever ye shall ask of who? The Father." If you're using the hard copy Bible, take note. Ask of what? The Father in my what? Name. He will give to you. So the first kind of prayer is when we ask the Father things that he should give us as a result of what? The name of Jesus. I'm going to explain that. That's the first kind of prayer. So there are prayers we pray that we make demands. I don't use the word demand, but we ask God. Now look at the position of God here as a what? A Father. As a what? The second kind. So this prayer is directed to our Heavenly Father. The second kind of prayer is in the book of John chapter 14 verse 13 to 14. I know most of you know this, but God is going to give you a different understanding to this. Follow me. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I ought do." Did he say you ask the Father? He said, "If you ask in my name, I will do." The word translated here, ask, is the Greek word demand. Let's continue. "So that the Father may be glorified in what? In the Son." Let's continue. "If you ask anything in my name, I what? Do it." So Jesus is saying that this one, you don't direct it to the Father. But when you place demand on anything in my name, it will be given to you. We are going to look at this. These are the two kinds of prayers. Either. Now, this second kind of prayer, Jesus explained why it will be done. If you read the verse 30, he said that so that the Father will be what? Glorified in the what? The Son. So it's not the same thing. Now, if you go to John chapter 16, give me the verse 23. You see that the first kind of prayer, what is the end result of it when we pray it? So, "And that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father," have you seen it? "In my name, he will give to you." Continue, verse 24. "Hereof you have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall what? Receive. That your heart." Come on, church. "That your heart." That your heart. Your joy. So anytime we ask the Father, what comes back is that the joy of the Father, our joy is full. No wonder in the book of Philippians chapter 4, he said that do not be anxious for anything. But what? Through prayers, thanksgiving and what? Supplication. Make your request known unto what? And the peace of God that transcends all understanding shall guide. That is joy. But the first one, the second one we read in the book of John chapter 14, said that the Son, the Father will be what? Glorified in the Son. These are the two kinds of prayers. Now that's why this is who propounded Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. So we are going to examine them. Let's start with the first one. The first kind of prayer, I call it the prayer of access. I call it access in the sense that we approach God as a Father. Take note. Based on the finished work of what? Christ. That is why this kind of prayer, we either begin it with a phrase, "In Jesus' name," or we end it with a phrase, In Jesus' name have I prayed. Amen. The reason why you said that word is that you have approached the Father based on the finished work of Christ. Why, how is this very important? This is very important for you to understand that we had no right, we had no privilege to come before the Father. If even study the called nation Israel, it was priests who goes to the Father on their behalf for them. If you do something, you don't have the right to make sacrifices, to burn incense. You have to go towards the house of God. And the priest who also go through certain rituals, go through certain things, and before he will be fit enough to go before God on your behalf for you. But when Jesus came to die, he sought out all those limitations. That difference is, so the Bible says we have been reconciled. So that difference is between God and humanity was done and sought out by Jesus. And now Jesus became the license upon which we can now approach the Father. And when we go to him as a father, there are things we get as a father-son relationship. You will not get it anywhere. So, the nature of this kind of prayer is mostly about petition. The actual spiritual word we use is supplication. The nature of this kind of prayer. So this prayer, we direct it to God, and God will do so because it is in the name of Jesus, based on the finished work of Christ. I don't understand if you get the point. Say, the finished work of Christ is talking about you, who was a sinner, alienated from the commonwealth of God, who had no part in God. Jesus has died and taken out of those things. There's nothing that stands between you and God. There's nothing. So anytime you approach God on that verdict, access granted. Now, how many of you have gone to the bank before? You've been to the bank. You see, there's something called restricted area, staff only. You need to have a staff or ID to be able to access. When you go there, that's where you see the bundles. You see the things that you have to see. I was once granted an access to a bank restricted area because I had somebody was working over there, and Charlie, yeah, did they smell? Yeah, the things they were smelling. Gosh. That's what I'm talking about. The name of Jesus is like that staff ID card. When you have that staff ID card on you, the door, by because of that ID card, when you show it to the door, restricted area, it's what? Open, because you have that what? ID card. There are kinds of prayers that we pray, and it's directed, it's like that ID card directed to that door, and the door will open because we prayed it on the basis of the finished work of what? Christ. We will look at those kind of prayers. Don't worry. They are petitional. So in the book of our father, Apostle Joseph Minter, titled Resolving Spiritual Conflict, he called this aspect of prayer out the petition what? Prayers. Now, what is the focus of this kind of prayer? The focus of this kind of prayer is on things that the Father grants us, or things that we need, which can only be supplied by the Father. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 to 20. There are certain things in life, or as children of God, it is only God who can supply them to us. And this kind of prayer, the focus is that we are able to gain access to those things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by what? Jesus Christ. So there are needs that we must go to the Father. So if you don't practice this kind of prayer, there are certain needs in your life that will never be met, even though you are born again. It's nobody's fault. Are you with me? So we have needs, and God is the supplier. Nobody else. Is God who is the supplier. And this supply comes from God. And that kind of prayer we pray it on the basis of the finished work of Christ. And our God shall supply all needs. There, verse 20 is very, very sweet. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. So he's telling you who he's talking. So he now defined the position of that God as a what? A father. Understand the key word what? Father. God can give everything to anybody in this world. But in the position of a father, it's not everybody who enjoys that. He's a God to everybody. Do you know that? And as a God, he's benevolent to everybody. But he's not a father of everybody. So understand the position here. So this kind of prayer, we directed it to the Father. And we enjoy the father-son what? Relationship. Are we on the same page? Go. Can I give a typical example of this prayer? So I said supplication is one petitioner prayer. We're going to look at the types over there. But one of the examples I can give is the Pauline prayers. Most of you have done resolving spiritual conflicts. Pauline prayers is this kind of petition prayer. Prayer of access. Now, you'll find out that this kind of prayer targets lay emphasis on number one, the will of God. Nobody can give you access to the will of God except himself. So if you don't pray this kind of prayer, you will be in the church, but you don't know the will of God for your life. And it's the God who supply that need, who supply that. It is God who open up his will unto you. Another emphasis that this kind of prayer focus on is the desires of God. That I may know. You if you want to catch the desire of God, it is in this kind of prayer. So you can be in the church and there's no passion, there's no desires of God burning in you because you are not. That's why I found out that one type of this prayer is the prayer of intimacy. That I'll catch that desire with you. Prayer of fellowship. Fellowshipping, the prayer of fellowship, getting close, that I'll catch that fire, that desire. The Bible said the zeal of the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. The desire I'm talking of, the zeal. When people are zealous for God, it's because they are able to connect to the Father. And that they make those petitions that the zeal will consume them. If you want to understand this kind of prayer, listen to the songs of Teofilo Sunday. Listen to the lyrics. You know the prayer topics goes there. Hallelujah. Number three, the counsel of God. Lay emphasis on the counsel of God. Counsel. So the counsel of God, it is out of this kind of prayer, petition prayer or prayer of access, the things that we ask based on the finished work of Christ. You see, nobody, it's not everybody who receives access to the counsel of God. It's only Father, the children. And we approach God, and God will give us his counsel. He said, my counsel shall perform this. So we are able to get into the counsel of God, buy into the mind of God, the counsel of God. We seek counsel of God. Are we there? These are some of the emphasis that's needed. The last one I want to talk about here is the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries of the kingdom are secured through this kind of. So as you travel in the spirit in prayer, the Father will open up the mystery of the kingdom to you. So if a believer is not raised to understand this kind of prayers, we are going to look at the types under this kind of prayer. Petition prayer, the types over there. If you are not raised and being taught that this is what you approach the Father on this basis and how to approach the Father, you will find out that you can live in a church and you don't know the will of God for your life. you'll be in the church and find out that you don't have any mystery at work in your life. Revelation. So I said the Pauline prayers. Are you there? Maybe we should read one Pauline prayer so that they'll know what I'm talking about. Can we read one? Ephesians chapter 1. One powerful Pauline prayer. Yes, why not? What I'm talking about, Paul was praying. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Paul was praying. Are you with me? Are we on the same page? So this is a prayer he was directing to. Let's start from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that the emphasis again? The hot father. Check it very well. You find out that all those prayers that are the petition prayers or prayer of access, the key word over there is what? Father. That your joy will be full. The Father will give it to you. So this one, it is the Father who gives to us. So you find out that you don't pray to Jesus. You pray through Jesus. You don't pray to. Jesus has nothing to give you. He has given you everything already. You get it, you find out. He has secured everything for you. But it is the Father you go to. But we are able to approach the Father on the verdict of what? The finished work of Jesus. Now, continue. Said, the Father of what? Glory. May what? Give unto you. This is prayer. Maybe the thing is not prayer. Go to verse 16. Let's read. Verse 16. Let's read from this. You see, it was a prayer. Somebody said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my heart. That all happened. Petition prayers. Petitioning the Father. Hitting an access in the Father's realm. That verse 17. Let's go. Quick. That the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of what? Him. Can we continue? The eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That he may know what is the hope of his calling. Can you see the things he's demanding? The things he's asking for. These things are petition. These things are directed to the Father. And you see where the emphasis is laid on. Mystery, counsel of God. Are you there? The will of God, the desires of God. These things, if you don't, are not taught the protocols by going by, you will never encounter them. You will never encounter them. What is the hope of his calling? Do you know it? It is in this kind of prayer you know that. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint? It is the Father who will help you to know it. It is the Father. I pray for you. You see, our prayer life will change this year. Our prayer life will change. We will benefit from this. So, the kind of prayer we are talking here, or we are dealing with over here, in terms of the prayer of access or prayer of petition, is approaching the Father that he will supply our needs. According to the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, he alone can supply this. It's only God. So the hope of your calling is only God. No. An angel cannot do that for you. You can't bind and lose it. It is only God who will give it to you. He will give you. He will supply that need. You see, you don't know it's a need in your spirit. You don't know that the go back to that he may supply all your needs according to his. No, Ephesians. I want to show one of the needs. Ephesians verse 17. Ephesians 1:17. That he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Don't you know revelation is a need? Revelation is a need. It is God who can supply it for you. We all need revelation. A light that illuminates you. Open your eyes. When we talk of open, I'm talking about understanding. I pray for you. You see, that thing you are going through, there is something that is happening in your life you don't understand. If you contact the Father will give you light. And that is how your life will turn around. Sometimes, some situations, some things that we go through, it's not bind and loose. That's why we don't get a result. It is about issue of light. When you go to the Father and you seek for light, wisdom and revelation, when it comes to you, you'll find out that certain things will change in your life. You don't know the power to work in you until God opens your eyes to see it. in the closet of prayer. That is why you see that people who spend more time with God in closet praying with God, when they come up, you can't contain them, because they have gone to make some kind of petitions and they have been granted those petitions. So when they come, I pray for you. I don't know the needs in your that you need from the Father. Some of us, we need certain depth of revelation. We need to be taken to another realm. I pray for you that you come into contact with it in the name of Jesus. In the course of this study, you will come into contact with it. So there are needs, spiritual needs, physical needs that only the Father can supply. And how do we get these things? We go on the verdict of the finished work of Christ. And this is a kind of prayer we pray. Under them, you're going to see the types. Don't worry, you look at the types that are over there. But I've mentioned one to you, the prayer of supplication is one type of what? Petition prayer or prayer of access. It's one kind, one type. Number two, the second type of prayer we read, the second kind of prayer we read in the book of John chapter 14, verse 13. I call it the prayer of representation. But in the teachings of our father, Apostle Joseph Minta, in the popular book, Resolving Spiritual Conflict, he called it the demanding prayers. This kind of prayers is directed to the devil, situations, and circumstances in the form of utterances and declarations. Why? To place a demand on our rights and privileges. Follow me. In John chapter 14, verse 14, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What Jesus is saying is that when you place a demand on anything pertaining to your right and privilege, are you there? You will get it. In other words, the believer does not only pray to God, the believer also directs prayers to the devil or situations as a result of what? Their rights and privileges. You can be born again and you can be very serious Christian, but your rights and privileges can be denied. Yes. Don't believers die young? But I don't know, it's the right of the believer to live long according to scriptures. Are you with me? Are believers not poor? Eh? But the Bible says, he shall supply all needs according to his riches in what? Do you imagine the riches in the glory of God? If he's supplying your needs, do you know what we are talking about? It's just like saying that the bank of US, the Bank of America, supplies your needs. That is even small. Yes, are believers not? Okay. So this prayer, we direct it towards the devil. You know, we are praying to the devil, we direct it to him. That's why the key word is that in the form of what? Utterances and declarations. We make utterances, we make declarations. The Bible says, you shall declare it and it shall come to pass. It is this kind of prayer he's talking about. Are you with me? When Elijah locked up the act, it was this kind of prayer. That is why he didn't say that God, he said, according to my word, as a representation of God here, I lock this heaven. Nobody can challenge me. And he came back and said, according to my word, I unlock it. He was not directing it to God. He was speaking from the point of representation. And many believers have not come to this realization that there is a dimension of representation they occupy. One character of this prayer is that it is confrontational towards the devil. We confront the devil and circumstances that deny us our rights and privileges. Now you see that in this kind of prayer, the common phrase we use is in the name of Jesus, not in Jesus. Remember the first one is what? In Jesus' name, right? The first one is what? In Jesus' name. That's to the Father. This one is in the name of Jesus. Which means approaching the devil or circumstances or situations on the authority that Jesus has bestowed on you. He said, I have all powers and authority, and I give them to you. You remember I told the disciples in the book of Matthew that all authority has been given unto me, and therefore go. That word go means I've also given that authority to you. If you read the book of John chapter 17, he told them that as the Father has sent me, so have I also sent you. The Father sent him on authority. So Jesus also has sent us on authority. So we are, that's why I call it the prayer of what? Representation. It means that we are acting or working in the authority or in the interest of Jesus. That's why the Bible said that God, the Father takes glory in that kind of prayer. That the Father will be glorified in the Son. So anytime we confront situations, we go and deal with situations, deal with the devil on the matter of our rights and privileges, the glory is in the of the Son. That's why Jesus takes that one personal. It breaks the heart of Jesus to see that believer being denied of his rights and privileges because his glory is withheld. It breaks the heart of Jesus. Are we there? Are we there? So this kind of prayer is the prayer we pray. We say in the name of Jesus. And the reason is that we approach the devil's circumstances based on the authority Jesus has conferred on us. In Mark chapter 16 verse 17, let's read. This is the very words of Jesus. And this sign shall follow them that believe. What did he say? Eh? In my name. So I want to show you this prayer I'm talking about. The John chapter 14 verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I would do it. Now Jesus gave a little example. He said, in my name they shall what? They shall do what? Can I hear you? They shall speak with what? New tongues. Continue. This is an example. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the what? The sick, and they shall what? Because he has bestowed that authority on us. Because of this, can I give you a very strong statement? This kind of prayer places responsibility on the believer to take matters into his own hands. In other words, anything that is about your rights and privileges, God has nothing to do with it. If you don't take matters into your own hands, God cannot do anything for you. In fact, God cannot do anything for you. So if you are sick and you go and cry, Father, God will watch you and say, ah, but the authority has been given to you. What else do you want from me? Or you go and you see things are not going well, circumstances are not falling in place to you. So you see, this is where when people blame God for everything, God sits in heaven and he folds his hand. People say that, if God is a God, why did he allow these things to happen? Now, who said God is in control of this earth? The essence of prayer is built on the principle. I've already talked about this. The day that God said, let them have dominion, that was the day that prayer was set into action. So before even man was created, prayer was already initiated. Man has full authority over this earth and gave it over to the devil. Whenever we pray, what we mean is that we permit God to what? Act in the interest of us. And that was what I spoke about, the principle of what? Priesthood. So this kind of prayer is to tell you that if you don't take matters into your own hands, nobody will do it for you. So you can be born again and die poor. And you get to heaven, and God will tell you that you call for your own poverty. I had no hands in it. You'll be shocked. And in fact, that will not. You can't blame God. Because he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will what? This is the kind of thing that when you go into, you see that something is not going right in your life, you go and then you confront it. And you tell the thing that, you know, I've been given authority over you.
And I'm going to teach you the rules of engagement with these things. We are going to, you'll get there. This kind of prayer places responsibility on the life of what? The believer. He says that if you don't take matters into your own hands, God will do nothing for you. God has nothing to do with it. As far as your right and your, as far as your heart, and I'm going to show what is the right and privilege of the believer very soon. As far as your right and privileges are concerned as a believer, it's just like as far as your right and privileges are concerned in Ghana, the constitution has made provisions for it. If you don't know, it is not on the government. Oh, will you blame the government? No. As you sit here right now, anything concerning your right, anything concerning the privileges as a Ghanaian, do you know why these things, when you talk about it, you don't respect it? Because in Africa or in this part of the world, citizenship is not of an issue. Go to America and see. Citizenship is the biggest thing. You don't joke with it. They understand it very well. As far as your right and privileges are concerned, the government of Ghana knows that everything is spelled out in the constitution. So it is on you to what? Place a demand. Right there? Yes. That is why when the police arrest you, by constitution, you can place a demand to tell you the reason for your arrest. You can ask the one at the court here. By your right, you cannot be kept in a police custody for more than not, is it 48 hours without being sent to court. You must be guaranteed, you must be given bail. If they refuse your bail, but people have been in police custody for 72 hours. Is it the fault of the government? Are you there? Hello? Sister, can I share this? So recently, Sister came to pick myself and my wife. We are going to, you know, we stay close. So we are going to his side. He came to our side and said, okay, well, let's go to your place. And he decided to go and get one very nice watch in the corner there. So we are passing by, and then this policewoman stopped us. Sister was not in belt. There. I know it's not an offense. Most of you don't know. You should be cautioned, but it's not an offense. When you're not in the highway, it's not an offense. You should be cautioned. Because the seatbelt can jam, it can lock. So anything can happen. So the woman stopped him, and then he said, Caesar has committed an offense, so you should get them. And Caesar said, okay, what is the matter? So because Caesar knows that. So he saw the seriousness with Caesar and everything. Then it moved on from seatbelt that you are driving without your spectacle because your license is out. You are not with the license. And Caesar said, oh, he's just staying here, so he can go and bring the license. No one said, no. And Caesar told him, according to the constitution, I have 24 hours to produce my license. So I'm packing the car here to go and bring my license. So we are just close to the house. So he packed, went to the house, and brought the license. The woman saw the license. At first, Caesar said, you will not give the license to her, until Caesar saw that she was an inspector, right? He said, now, as an inspector, I can give you my license. But if you're not an inspector, I will not give it to you. And you can't do anything. So the woman saw that Caesar was trying to, you know, one thing they don't like is when you want to prove that you know you. And when you understand, said, please, my uncle, my family, they are policemen. I know these things very well. So at the end of the day, he said, now your offense is that you were driving with a spectacle. On the license. Yes. So yes, he told her. So now the offense now she wants to use on Caesar is that Caesar was driving with a spectacle, but on the license there was nothing that indicated that he has to wear spectacle to drive with it. Yes. So we are under arrest. She's pounding the car and taking your license. They took the license. Then we are talking. I said Caesar wanted, you know, those things. They wanted something. I said, Caesar, we are not giving this woman anything. You make a fool out of her. So I said, call Prophet Jericho. So I came and said, am I the counselor? I said, and he asked me, I heard that calm down that he's talking to Caesar. I said, I'm not the counselor. If you want to talk to the counselor, I can call him for you. So I called Prophet Jericho. Well, Prophet Jericho, so they started shouting, we're calm, watching them. Then when they saw that we're so calm, that what they are doing is not moving us. When they talk, we talk back, we're calm. They know that these guys, they know what we're standing on. I'm talking about your rights and privileges. The long and short of the story, that they took our license. The following day, Prophet Jericho came, took the woman to the bus. And she was called to give the license to Caesar without the password. Because there's no new offense. Now, I told Caesar that when you are running around, he has to be very careful, because if that woman catches him, what am I trying to establish here? God will not come and do that for the believer. If the believer doesn't know that his right is being infringed. That one, no, it is stated clearly in the constitution. That's the Bible. Place your demand. So anything you ask in my name, I will do it. Examples of this is in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. Remember that in Acts chapter 12, James was arrested and the church was quiet. What happened? God watched James to be killed. Was it on God? No. It was on who? The church. Now, when they took Peter, now the church realized that if they don't do something about it, God will not do anything about it. So the church came into their senses and know that now it is our right and privilege that is under attack. We need to go and what? Place a demand. The Bible said the church made prayers. What happened? Peter was released. You sit there and play with your life, thinking that it breaks my heart. You come there, we talk about those kinds of prayers. See, that sickness will kill you, and God will receive you in heaven. The death of the believer is not a loss to God. In fact, it is a gain. God does not lose. We on earth, that we lose. God, that is whether I live or die, it is. When you die today, heaven will rejoice to receive you. They'll sing it to heaven. He'll receive you. You think it is God? It's not God. You live in that poverty for the rest of your life. You can complain, talk, blame God. God will watch you and say, see this one. Did you place a demand? Another example, Acts chapter 13, verse 6 to 12. The blindness of Bar Jesus. Emmaus. Paul was preaching, and the guy was there restricting Paul. And God was quiet watching Paul. And the restriction was going on. The guy was a false prophet, a sorcerer, very powerful guy, restricting Paul. And Paul was preaching. The thing got to Paul and said, I blind you for some season. And that's how the gospel was able to prevail. You think that witch in your house who is messing with your life, God will do something? You'll be there and be quiet. The witch will keep on pounding on you. And God will say, since you are okay with it, since you sin, it's not anything wrong with you. God is not an irresponsible father who will raise his children who will not be responsible. He will raise you to be responsible. And one of the things that you are responsible for, when you know how to defend your right and enjoy your privilege, is an act of responsibility. So since you are there, you are quiet, and the devil is messing with you, things are not going right, and you are okay, you are not ready to demand, then God knows that you like it. Why should he come and help you when you already like what is happening to you? But when you place a demand, then you find out that there is a judge. There's an advocate. There are innumerable company of angels. Then you find out that in Zion, matters can be settled. Yeah. Then you find out that you can take the devil to court yourself. You know, not that, not, you see, at first he's the accuser of our brethren, eh? Do you know, you as you sit here, you can take the devil to court and prosecute him and demand verdict and enforce it on him. You can just get up and say that, okay, this thing has been going on in my family, I don't like it. Then you summon the devil at court before God. You get there, don't worry. You summon him, prosecute him, take verdict and enforce it on him. And it will work. Be there. Do you think we some of us have had it easy? I pray for you. So you see, that these are the two kinds of prayers. Now, the misconception and mishandling of this kind of prayer has caused a lot of spiritual casualties and imbalance in the Christian life of many believers. Misconception. Because many believers don't understand anything. Everything, they blame God. I've checked for that scripture. It's a way of consoling yourself. Me imbalance. So can say a very spiritual person, but there is nothing to talk about influence in their life. Very. You can also see a type of person who is able to place the man on their right hand, but they can't see the will of God working in their life. Imbalance. But apostle, you should pray all kinds of prayer. Now, quickly, I want to take you through your right and privilege. I'm just going to make it. There are only three scriptures that I can point to you, the summary of the Christian's privileges, life and privileges. Wow, time is fast spent. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in where? Heavenly places. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. With all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In where? Is in Christ Jesus there? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He has given us all things. So you see why I said that you can't blame God for anything concerning your right and privilege. According as his divine power had God given unto us all things pertaining to what? Unto life and what? Through what? The knowledge of him that had called us to the glory and virtue. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. What are the rights and privileges of a believer? Seven things. Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Riches. We ought. These are your spiritual blessings. It is the right of the believer to walk in power. It is the right of the believer to walk in glory. It is the right of the believer to walk in wisdom. It is the right of the believer to walk in strength. If you are not seeing it, don't put it on God. The devil can deny you. I'm going to tell three ways it can happen. Then we close. In summary, the right and privilege of the believer is summarized in one scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. In summary, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of what? Grace. That we may find or may obtain what? That is privilege. Mercy is privilege. Do you understand privilege? What you don't deserve. Yes, you don't deserve it. But it comes to you, it's conferred on you, it's a privilege. That's why we serve God, it's a privilege. It's not a right. What does mercy do? Mercy is what helps you to have things that you don't deserve. Let's continue. And find what? Grace is your right. And these are the things. I told what grace is. Everything that Jesus has secured for us to enjoy freely is what? Grace. The devil can come after these two. That's why I also should come boldly. Before what? The throne. Yeah. So when we say that the right and privileges, this is what we're talking about. And the devil, this one, it is on you. The responsibility is on you. That's why God needs to bring it to say you should come what? Boldly. So God will not bring the glory to you until you go for the glory. David said that I will see your glory and what? Your power. Yes. So you are born again. The power of God is residing in you. But the devil can buffet you until you decide to go for power. Place demand on that power. Say the spirit that is in you. You place a demand on that spirit and then God will release you. Deal with your circumstances. Can a believer be robbed of his right and privilege? Yes. On what account? Three things quickly, then we close. Number one, ignorance. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Now, you see, this is where the devil has been very successful in the life of many believers. Ignorance. My people are destroyed. My people are hurt. For what? Lack of knowledge. Now, this is what happens. Everybody comes from the kingdom of darkness, translated in the kingdom of what? Light. Now, it is just like you traveling from Ghana to US in the name of Jesus. Now, when you are in Ghana here, all that they did was to translate you, move you. But do you know the rights and privileges of those in US? Do you know it? You don't know. You understand? So since you don't know, you come to US, somebody who knows that you don't know will deal with you until you come to know what you need to know. That is what the devil is doing to the believer. We're in the kingdom of darkness, translated into the marvelous light of God. But we are there, but we don't know where we are. We don't know what is our own. We don't know what is our privilege. So since you don't know, ignorance is the killer of the fool. You deal with you. So my people are destroyed. That's how you can be there and you never see glory in your life because you are ignorant about it. And the devil loves to play in your ignorance. The things you don't know is his strength. The strength of the devil against the believer is his place of ignorance. That's why I said, when light came, darkness could not comprehend it. That's why the Bible said, you shall know the truth. And whatever the Spirit of the Lord deserts, liberty. Don't place, because when you know, that's why you can place a demand. That's why I find that this kind of prayer is prayed by matured Christians. One sign that you are growing in Christianity is when you begin to understand that there are rights and privileges you need to place a demand on. Number two, unwillingness to grow. Galatians 4:1. Inasmuch as you are a citizen of Ghana, no matter what, if you're not 18 years, you'll not vote. You can have a university degree, you can be a professor, you can be a millionaire, billionaire. If you're not 18 years, you can't vote. You can have a lot of money if you're not 40 years or 45 years or 40 years, you can't be a president, right? Is 45 or 40? 45, right? Or something. 40 years, you cannot be a president. It doesn't matter your level of intelligence. Now I say that the hair, somebody say hair. As long as he ought, he is ought, different not from ought, a servant, though he be the Lord of all. When you are born again, decide not to grow. You remain the same way. So the devil knows that. So that's why the devil put in a lot of things in hindrance of the growth of the believer. You don't know that having your quiet time in Bible studies, coming to church to be discipled, is for your own good. So that you can enjoy what you are the Lord of. You'll be here and be fighting, pastor. Do your quiet time, pastor. I will not do it. Come to church, I will not come. It is not me. As long as you remain a child, you want to be a brefus, be there. You will see that the blessings of God that are there will be waiting for you. God will not skip the class. He will not. In the things of God, there is nothing like jumping a class. You will all go through it. So the believer, although he has the right to power, can be denied because he's a child. Do you know why? Because he doesn't know the difference between a toy and a tool. So when he's given power, instead of it being a tool, you use it as a toy. Do you know what a toy is? Do you know what they do to entertain? So I'll stand here, and the reason why I want to prophesy is because I want to entertain you. Since I was your telephone number, I have to chew it in my head so that I can prophesy to you. Hallelujah. Finally, spiritual legalities. Many people don't know, and that's why this is all under the demanding prayers. There are legalities in the spirit. Legalities. The devil can come after your rights based on certain legal reasons. I'm using this thing now. It is real because I want to let you know these things are there. Do you know that they can take a legal action against you to deny you of certain rights as a Ghanaian until you defend yourself? Somebody can prosecute you as a result of something that has happened. Let me even make it clear to you. If you are an accomplice of a crime, that indirectly, do you know somebody can use it to deny you a job access? Yeah, as a government worker. Haven't you heard that people can work for many years and then they'll do a background check on them and they'll find something that could implicate them, and that is how they'll take them from their job. And sometimes take everything that they have gained from the job from them. Or you haven't heard that people have gone to universities and completed and they trace and find out that they had certain issues. They were implicated or they did something in SHS, and for that matter, they lost their certificate. The devil is very legalistic. And this is where Daddy Joe taught us what we call resolving spiritual conflict. I said, by the end of this year, whatever the devil will use as a reason to deny you where God will take you, you will resolve them in prayer.
I pray for you. Time is far spent, but this is what the journey are on it. The things that we will take responsibility for and the things that the Father will supply unto us. This year, we are going to have them in the name of Jesus. That which is to be supplied by the Father, being it knowing His will, being it revelation, being mysteries, by the understanding of prayer, we will press in forth for it. And the things that we will take responsibility for, I pray for you. By the end of this year, the devil will never bully anybody in this church. If you have been a bully, the devil has bullied you, has taken advantage of your ignorance and your reason of not growing, and has taken advantage of it to deny you rights and privileges. This year, that nonsense will stop. That nonsense will stop. I said that nonsense will stop. Your family will see you and ask, why is it that everybody is suffering from this thing, but you are not part? Then you tell them that you have taken responsibility. I've taken responsibility. Why is it that everybody is having this kind of sickness, but you have not gone through it? Then I took responsibility. I placed the man on my right, that in his tribe I'm healed. I have right to full wholeness. And for that matter, my body is the temple of the Lord. No false sickness can touch me. Sarah, I said, place a demand on your right. That is what you were doing. And that's why I said you are provoking the devil. Sometimes you have to do it, let it get to the devil. You think you are the only person who were told not to eat certain things? I remember recently they said this thing called typhoid, or they said I shouldn't eat meat. I said, me. At this age of my life, at least I know that if nothing at all, God will give me at least, as I now in my 30s, God will give me at least some 40 years plus. So you're telling me for the rest of my 40 years now, more than what I've even spent on earth, I'll not eat meat. Devil, this is a wrong EMS. Let me eat it and let that typhoid show up. Nonsense. It is my right. The Bible says, for everything, give thanks. Everything has been reconciled. The Bible said He has reconciled everything, including the chicken and goats. No. You have been reconciled. You can't harm me. You can't harm me. Gosh. Told the devil, you want to deny me my right of enjoyment? I'll work. I'll not enjoy meat. Some of you go to the hospital and the devil, I'm not saying, the doctor has set aside though. What is the Bible also? What is the Constitution also saying? Yeah, this is what? Faith against what? Fact. The doctor has said inside. What is the Constitution saying? Let's apply the and place demand. Let's see who will give in. Am I not chewing chicken? Am I not here? That kind of bully the devil. Do you know how many people the devil has been bullying around? People work for the rest of their life, and when they get to a certain age, unnecessary things will come into their system. I pray for you. The Bible said Moses died at old age with his full sight and strength. Caleb, who went with Joshua at the age of 80, told him that I am still full of strength and I can take up the mountains. Why is that, God? How long are we going to allow the devil to be bullying us, denying us of our rights and privileges? And a believer is in a job place, they're about to promote him, then some foolish guy will go and consult some foolish power and attack that believer because he doesn't want him to be promoted. I'll take responsibility of my right and privilege. Then it is time for a young lady to marry. Then a foolish power deity will rise up and say that this young girl cannot marry. I will take responsibility. My wife was told that she can never give birth. Oh. I said, Francisca, completed school and they start having some fun. I said, you go to school. University, you go some. You pass. What is that comment? The ones use comments to hold you. It will not happen, man. Not me. I told her I don't teach anybody to fail. It is not part of my anointing to teach you to fail. I taught her 1 month, 2 weeks. Is she not in the university? I don't like bullies. I don't like bullies at all. So the devil is my number one. If I find out that he's bullying somebody, I get angry. That is how Jesus gets angry. So he saw
How? See, that is how they could break ceilings and you are ceiling people. Because I don't like bullies. But then let the devil be bullying you. Small family. When somebody is rising up, you have been working all these years. The money that you get that you can use to do something in your house, he said, I want to bully you and bully your finances. You see, you are doing it and you're quiet because God was also quiet watching you. That just 20 cities can solve the problem. God was just watching him. Said, this young man, oh, so, okay, continue. The day that he got angry, he said, I'm tired. When he saw that, he said, I am tired. I can't continue this nonsense. I said, okay, now you are placing the man on your right. Receive your right. You think you, if you are kept quiet, you keep paying. You keep paying. I said, the devil will not bully us anymore in the name of Jesus. Amen. Rise up to your feet. I wish I had more time. The rules of engagement. Kovela mako shatakaya. Iku vala brasata. Andovela mako velasaya. Korasa. Praying all kinds of prayers. He said that, well, he said, above all things, stand that you may withstand the wheels of the enemy. Praying all kinds of prayers. We say you pray all kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers. The prayers that will let the Father supply our needs. And the prayers that will place demand on our right. There is an authority that Jesus has bestowed on us. Oh, men lack of Messiah. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I said, I've given you all the keys. Adore Versailles. If it is your right to be an excellent student in class, don't let that paper scare you off. Place a demand. Place a demand. Place a demand. Demand your grade. Demand your certificate. Let it be released. Demand that job. Demand that promotion. Demand that opportunity. The Bible says we shall be the head and not the tail. The Bible says he shall give us the best part of the land. Do you know that the land of Canaan was given to them, but they have to demand it by war? God said the Canaan land belonged to you, but they fought for it. They have to fight. They have to place a demand. I pray for you. Some of you are, God has given you a place flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants over there. That if you don't place demand, the giants are not living. Lift up your voice and pray. Some of you, your life is surrounded with milk and honey. Some of you should be living on dollars and pounds. But they are giants. Come on, place a demand. As for God, he has finished his idol. The rest is on you. I said the rest is on you. Demanding prayers, it places responsibility on you. That you take responsibility and walk into your rights and privileges. Nombre asunki lava diatoshe. Radina makovo lobosaya. Adele niosata. Praying all kinds of prayers. Kodobolo send the kabahaya. That we can be able to withstand the wills of the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness, rulers. These people, they will never budge in until you make the demand. But the Bible says when we pray all kinds of prayers, we shall stand against them. We shall maintain our victory. This year we will pray all kinds of prayers. Labranda bakosaya. Shanda dila makovo sete.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.